Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please listen or subscribe by going to newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or visit us on iTunes. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in the book of Matthew, Swine or Divine. The title of the message today is Swine or Divine. This is probably one of the most difficult parts of the Bible for me. I don't enjoy dealing with it, and I had to at a couple points in my life. You see, heaven is real, hell is real, angels are real, and demons are real. Demon possession is a difficult subject, but demons are real and possession has happened. The picture up here on the screen is from a real exorcism. People can open up doors to demons, and it is extremely scary. I have experienced this only a couple of times over the years, and they were not good times. I always hope that I never have to experience it ever again. I don't like it. I don't like seeing it. I don't like praying over it. I don't like it at all, and it's real. The normal individual turns into something that is scary and violent. Seizures take place a lot of times, and I found from experience, the individual hates to hear the name of Jesus. I hope you never have to experience demons or demon possession, and the best way to do that is to stay away from the tools of demons. Now, Jesus comes to the area of the Gadarenes. There were many towns in the Gadarenes. If you read in the different Gospels, they're different names, but all connected to the area of the Gadarenes. Now, Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 is where we're going to be today, if you're following along in your Bibles, as Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 says this. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. Let's look at that for a moment. Luke said in his gospel, they hadn't dwelled in a home, but they lived in a tomb a lot of their lives. Luke also wrote that they were naked. Mark's gospel tells us that the people tried to chain them up, and they broke the chains, not like break a chain link. They broke the chains into pieces. Also, that they constantly cut themselves. I want you to note that. Cutting is demonic. The priests of Baal worship cut themselves, and these demons got the men to cut themselves. I'm not saying that people are demons if they cut themselves. I'm saying there's some demonic influence in people cutting themselves. Sometimes it's crazy, like this situation, and many times it's subtle, like the enemy speaking negativity into our life or into the mind of a teenager. Cutting, inflicting harm upon yourself, and suicide in the Bible, when in Scripture it points to the demonic. I've been dealing much with suicide over the past couple of months. It is demonic. That's something that we must remember, that if we are being influenced to take our own lives, that these influences are from the one who steals and kills and destroys. So we should remember that. So this is a real demon possession. This is really scary. Which I want us to understand, there's a difference between demon possession and demon influence. See, demon possession involves inviting a demon into your life. For example, you're opening up a door through a Ouija board and you accidentally think it's a ghost or some other form of something else, and you invite it into your home. You may believe it's a ghost of your Aunt Mabel, but it's a demon pretending to be Aunt Mabel because demons have watched over our families for years. Ghosts are not in the Bible. They are not biblical. The Bible says you die and immediately go to judgment. You don't float around on the earth. Another example was at a New Age seminar, people would channel their spirit animals and actually invite them into their hearts. They would say a prayer and invite the spirit animal to come into their hearts. Does that sound familiar? What do you think you're inviting into your heart? A real spirit animal? See, it's definitely not God, and it's definitely not godly. Before I was saved, I messed with different things like runes, tarot cards, palm reading, and other interesting New Age or Wiccan tools, usually because I was dating a girl who was involved with them. But eventually, I settled in the New Age movement, and I messed with a lot of that garbage. Gemstones, crystals, trying to channel energy from them. When I got saved, I was in a service a few months after my conversion, and the Lord revealed to us that there were those of us that had opened doors that needed to be closed because of the garbage that we messed with. Which honestly, and I will tell you this now, there is an altar here. It doesn't seem like anybody wants to use the altar. But I'm telling you, it's an easy trip down to the altar and a prayer to the Lord to close the doors that you may have opened in your life. Now, that was demonic possession. Let's look at demonic influence now. The Bible is clear that the battlefield that the enemy fights on is the battlefield of your mind. Saved and unsaved people deal with this alike. Have you ever wondered why there's a voice in your head telling you that you're no good, you're useless, worthless, stupid, not living, worth living, if you're fat or too thin or whatever, your nose is too big or too small or just the right size or your hair is not good enough, it's too thick or too thin? Why is that? The Bible is specific when it says that you are not saying those things to yourself. And that the devil is out to steal, to kill, and destroy, and he is the father of lies. To steal. You're no good. You're worthless. No one would care if you were gone. Hey, no one would even notice. Hey, that person doesn't love you anymore because of those things. That person doesn't care about you anymore, and they're doing what they're doing because you're worthless and because they could care less about you. The Bible says that is not your mind telling you those things, that the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he is the father of lies. So we did steal, now kill. Since no one would notice, why just end it? Why not end it all? You're in so much pain anyway, then you could just end that pain. And I'm telling you this, and I'm just going to be honest with you. You could feel so much pain that it seems like the best way to end the pain is to end your life. I mean, this world, you could feel so much pain and so much hurt. You could be so overwhelmed that you just want to end everything. And the enemy's good at stealing and having influence in that. Stealing and killing and then destroying. Because we take our own lives, the pain does not end. Because if you're not saved, it will begin eternally when you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. They're all lies from the maker of lies. Verse 29, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" They shrieked and they screamed. This was crazy. In Mark, they say, "Don't let us go into the abyss." They are not annihilationists. They are orthodox, and they know the last chapter of the Bible. They don't want to be tortured before the appointed time. They know there's an appointed time, and at that time, they'll be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Verse 30, some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. They're asking to be placed in a herd of pigs. Jesus, in another gospel, he asked what his name was, and the demon said, "Legion." I believe Jesus knew already there was a legion of demons in the man, because you see, this is the funny part. Jesus was asking the man what his name was. He was attempting to touch the humanity of a man lost in a legion of demons. Because all the Greek, if you look at when he's asking what the person's name is, the Greek is singular, it is not plural. He was talking to the man and not to the demons. What is your name? I know you are suffering, and I am going to reach you. I love this. In several areas, Jesus basically says to the demons, "Shut up and get out." You see, I like that. I think that's great. It says in his word that he seals us. The New Testament talks about his Holy Spirit being a seal, and the Greek, it's like cargo that was sealed on a cargo ship, but it's more intimate, meaning like an engagement ring. He seals us with an engagement so one day he can return to get us. And I'm very happy that he doesn't go back on his marriage plans. We are blood bought and sealed. Yes, there is warfare in the mind, and Satan, God, his Holy Spirit, they all know this. The only ones who don't get this a lot of times is us. There is a spiritual realm. There are angels and there are demons. There is war, and we fight it with the blood of Christ and the word of God. Verse 31, the demons beg Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." Please, oh please, Jesus, don't send us to the place of torture. Please send us into these swine. He said to them, "Go." So they came out of the man, went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake, and they died in the water. Pigs were not allowed in the Holy Land anyway, but the demons caused the pigs to commit suicide. And they became deviled ham, which is always good with deviled eggs, and devil's food cake for dessert, though it's better to eat angel food cake. This is some cheesy jokes. In Megiddo, there are pigs on platforms, and they don't touch the ground. They want to make money selling bacon to the Gentiles, so they don't make they make these platforms to put the pigs on to get around the law, because it's against the law to leave them on the ground. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Steal, kill, destroy. If you have suicidal thoughts, Satan would want nothing more than to destroy you, like he destroyed those pigs. Because a person without Christ commits suicide and they're lost forever. They can't take the pain. They can no longer take the pain as Satan is working in the thought process and they're driven to take their own lives. Self-destructive thoughts, which the illusion has created that when I end myself, the pain will end. And for those who are not in Christ, that is not true. Because a person without Christ commits suicide and they're lost forever. Killing the body doesn't kill the pain. The pain is deeper. And Jesus said to get rid of it is by doing this. And I need to do this. Matthew 16:25-26 says, "For whosoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain their whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can everybody give in exchange for their soul?" This is extremely important, so please listen to me. And I'm preaching to myself. Verse 26 says, "The most important thing in the universe to God is the soul." But to lose yourself in surrender to God, to submit yourself to Him, you want to find life, you need to lose your life in Jesus Christ. Verse 33, "Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man." The pig owners gave a testimony of Jesus Christ. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Please leave! Mark says they saw the men delivered, and what were their reactions? "Jesus, you need to leave right now." They were more concerned about unclean pigs than two souls. Then people today would rather choose something else besides Jesus. Some swine rather than the divine, like alcohol or drugs. Some pig rather than something big like pornography or lust. Some hog in a fog like adultery or some other lifestyle choice. Because people today are more focused on the pork than the power of God. People would rather have Jesus leave, Steve, his salvation. They would rather focus on the sow in the here and now than the last breath and eternity after death. They're more focused on the dead pigs floating in the water than Jesus, who is the living water. Jesus, get out of town. What are we more concerned about, dead pigs or the king? In my flesh, I would have let the 2,000 demon-possessed pigs run around their town for a while because it would have served them right to have to deal with that. In another gospel, the man wants to go with Jesus and he says no. So in closing, there are three prayers in this scene. Number one, the first is the demons. They asked Jesus to send them into swine, and he answered it. The second one is the people. They say, "Jesus, leave." And he answered them by going. Then there's the unpossessed guy who had thousands of demons in him, and he gets cleared, and he says, "Let me go with you." And Jesus said, "No." But what does he say? He says, "Go home and tell everyone what great things God has done." So two prayers were answered, which were bad prayers. And then you have an unpossessed guy. He gets saved and he's so, "Oh my gosh, Jesus, you're so awesome. Please let me go with you." No. But I do want you to do something. Go home. Tell them what's going on. That's a challenge for all of us. Tell them what great things I did. Is there something in your life that Jesus did that's worth telling someone? Because you know what? We do prayer time each week. And testimonies come up, great testimonies and positive great things are happening in your life. They're not just to tell the church, people. They're to bring glory to God in and outside the church. Is there someone in your life that would benefit from hearing what Jesus has done for you? Is there someone who won't make it home someday because they don't know Jesus Christ? Then go tell them. Why won't you tell them? Would it take Jesus to cast something out of you to realize they need to know before it's too late? Which person are you of the three? Are you the unpossessed person? And that you want to share Christ with your friends and with the community and the people that you work with, and that when you look at them, you see not only, you see a soul that possibly may not make it to heaven because they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Or are you like the people in town and you're, Jesus, I can't tell people. Will you just leave? Please leave. Get out of town. Go away. You know, I think churches would be more full if people were more active and involved in sharing Christ with people. You know, a lot of people, well, that's the pastor's job. He's trained to do that. No, it's all of our job. Jesus called all of us to follow him. And as we follow him, to share the word of God with others, to tell other people about Jesus. That's what we're called to do. I pray that you would understand that today. And like I said, I'm personally dealing with my own demons right now. Struggling with my own feelings and hurts. And if you're taking a trip to the edge, you know, your circumstances that are happening in your life are causing you to go through some terrible things, and you have some little buck private demon and they're trying to influence you to do something, I pray against those things in Jesus' name. And I ask, Father, as I pray today, Lord, that you would be over the minds of all of us in 2018, that you would help us to not have that demonic influence over our lives, but Lord, that you would move in our hearts and that you would move in our life and that you would help us, Lord, with what we're going through. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you can do that. I love you, Lord, that you can work in our lives today. And in that, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com and subscribe to the podcast or follow us on iTunes. Thank you very much, everyone. I hope you have a demon-free week. And that Jesus fills your heart with great love. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.